1027 Business with Michael Avery.
Well, we know some quarters are smooth sailing. The past 3 months have been anything but for global markets, and it was more pain today as stocks sank to extend what is the worst first half of the year for global share prices ever on record. That's how bad it's been out there. We had central bank chiefs from the Fed, the ECB and the Bank of England meeting in Portugal this week, and it was the same script. They're all saying they're going to do whatever it takes to control inflation, no matter what pain it's going to cause. And that's the big fear, recession on everyone's lips. We saw the MSCI World Equity Index down 0.7% today. Year-to-date losses just over 20%. We gave back just over 2% of the All Share today, taking our quarterly losses to also just over 11%. Reko Nare is a portfolio manager at Anchor Capital, and he's got the market view. Reko, great to have you on the show again. What stood out for you in terms of the big themes on this last trading day of the first half of the year?
Well, Michael, we continue, as we have for the rest of the first half of the year, to go to work with our hard hats on. Really, the key themes, as you've mentioned, that have dominated market headlines for the first half of the year were rising food and energy prices, as well as the central banks around the world scrambling to rein in inflation. And as you've mentioned, economists just fearing that these aggressive interest rate hikes that we're beginning to see worldwide could potentially trigger global recession. It's the last day of June, and as we close or draw close to the end of the first half of the year in both local and global markets, it's been tough out there. The overriding theme, I would say, which I think is pretty interesting, is how strong the dollar has fared against everything else. The dollar has had a strong first half of the year, and everything else has been weak out there. Looking at the performance of our local bonds, global bonds, emerging equities, developed market equities, and global REITs for the first half of 2022, global bonds are down 15%, emerging market equities are down 15%, developed market equities are down 19%, global REITs are down 20%. While looking at the dollar index, which basically tracks the U.S. dollar against a basket of emerging market currencies, we see that the first quarter of 2022, the dollar actually strengthened by 3%, while in the second quarter of 2022, the dollar index strengthened by 7%. So that's the only green out there. If you're holding U.S. dollar, then you're smiling. Otherwise, it's a bit of a tough time.
Really, a bit of a tough time. And the only green in the greenback, very interesting observation that. And we see the rand, the rakla, giving back quite a lot today, currently at around 16 rand 40 to that stronger dollar. Locally, what stood out for you in the local trading day?
Well, South African markets closed in the red today. The Aussie down 2%. Within that, the top 40 Northam, Impala and Naspats were the better performers, while Sanlam, Exxaro, Anglo American were the worst. At a sector level, the better performing sector was small cap shares, which was only down 1.5%, while the worst performing sector was financials, down 2.9%. Offshore, markets look set for another difficult day. The S&P 500 is down currently 1% as we speak. The NASDAQ down 2.5% and the Dow Jones down 1.6%. From a commodity perspective, looking on the commodity front, palladium was probably the biggest mover that we saw today. It was down 3.6%. And as you said, the rand is weaker across the board. It started the morning at 16 rand 22 to the dollar, and it's further weakened to around about 16.40, which is where it's trading at currently. The general mood and sentiment on our side is pretty gloomy, Mike, to be honest. On an interesting note, the rand strengthened against the dollar by a massive 9.07% in the first quarter of 2022, then subsequently weakened against the dollar by 9.96% in the second quarter of 2022. And a lot of that weakness we actually experienced in this month of June.
Well, that's the reason they call it the rattler. I mean, you would have been smiling 1 month and nursing your losses the next. As South African consumer sentiment, too, crashed to its lowest level in more than three decades during the second quarter, genocide. We've got to go back to the dark days of apartheid South Africa, the last time we saw consumer sentiment at this kind of level. And that's got to be a huge concern. Reko, what stood out for you?
So that consumer confidence index, I think it came out yesterday morning. Always quite interesting to look at it. It basically gives you a regular assessment of consumers' attitudes, and it's used to just evaluate why changes in consumers' expectations occur and how these changes can influence consumer spending and savings decisions. How we read that zero, net balance of zero on that index indicates a neutral sentiment, and a number above zero indicates increased consumer confidence, and then a number below zero indicates consumer pessimism near the future. That plunged from minus 13 in the first quarter of to minus 25 in the second quarter of 2022. The current reading is actually the lowest in three decades, as you've said, and that just basically signals a marked slowdown in consumer spending in the coming months. That's what we can expect. And actually digging into that print, we always like to dig into that print to see from a consumer confidence per income group level, in other words, high income, middle income, and low income.
Yeah.
It's worth noting that although consumer sentiment is now very depressed across all three income groups, affluent consumers are considerably more downbeat compared to low-income households. And looking ahead at the third quarter of 2022 with continued load shedding, another petrol hike on the cards, and interest rate hikes as well, there seems to be no reprieve or no respite for South African consumers.
Yeah, that price of petrol going to increase sharply again, and it's really difficult to put a positive spin on all of this very gloomy data. Let's talk about some company news, and I know a stock that you chaps follow fairly closely, Merafe. It's one of those that tends to benefit, I think, from a weak rand, and in Merafe's case, it's certainly one of those swings and roundabouts, because it's also they're negatively impacted by Eskom. But overall, what did you make of the Merafe pre-close call?
So Merafe, a function of commodity prices, a stock that we followed fairly closely. A big function of Merafe's performance is the price of ferrochrome and iron ore, which remain high. Ferrochrome contributes 87% to revenue, while chrome ore contributes 13% to revenue. Last year was Merafe's strongest year of earnings since the global financial crisis. As things stand, 2022 is on track to be another strong year. We currently estimate that for the financial year of 2022, they're going to have a diluted earnings per share of 80 cents. But we do note that as far as price history for chrome is concerned, it is a bit opaque of a market because ferrochrome and chrome ore prices are hard to track. So this is an illiquid share, but it is enjoying its best period of profitability in over a decade. It looks cheap optically. It's got a PE of 2x currently, and we wouldn't be go as confident to put out a buy recommendation on it for our clients, but We can say this. Ferrochrome prices remain strong. Production looks set on track. And although cost inflation is high, strong pricing should be enough to offset this for Merafe.
Absolutely. And as you say, on a PE of 2, it looks like there is significant margin of safety in that thesis as well. The other big talking point this week has been Prosus, Naspers. The results came out, but those were really almost a sideshow. It was all about that share buyback. What do you think of the whale on the JSE?
Naspers and Prosus. It announced its results for the financial year of 2022. Early Monday morning, the big news was around that proposed share buyback. Michael, actually, on your point, we are of the opinion that if it wasn't for that announcement, the share price would have probably been down at the open, as the results were pretty underwhelming, one could say. It's always good to be reminded, even before having that conversation around that share buyback, it's always good to be reminded of how this behemoth is structured, which it involves a cross-holding structure between Naspers and Prosus. Prosus owns about 50% of Naspers, and Naspers controls Prosus. Naspers does have some local SA assets, namely Takealot and Media24, which are frankly immaterial in the context of the group. Hence, we tend to think of them owning the same portfolio of investments. The lion's share of this group is that Tencent, which is 39% stake and has a market value of a whopping $133 billion presently. And the rump, in other words, the rest, is split into the different e-commerce verticals, which are categorized as classified, payments and fintech, food delivery, e-tailing, ventures, and the recently added vertical, which is edtech. So from a NAV point of view, to put that into perspective, Tencent constitutes 80% of the group, while the rest of the group, 20%, is everything else. And to put that into even better perspective, 125% of the profits of that group come from Tencent, and everything else is actually loss-making.
And that's why the share buyback was such big news, wasn't it? Because the market's saying, well, how do we unlock value and close that discount that yawned over the last few years between Tencent and the sum of everything else? What do you think of the share buyback?
Yep, as you said, Michael, that the big word there is that value unlock. That's the big element going into this. So in that open-ended share buyback program with Tencent's agreement, initially there was a lockup period. That's what the market had oversight of a lockup period that was in place after the last Tencent sell down. That is ended, and that allows Prosus to sell Tencent shares to fund that buyback. It added from an illustrative NAV per share enhancement at various levels of deployment of that buyback. It shows us is that the potential for the NAV uplift is great. This is highly dependent on what happens as far as the discount is concerned. Obviously, the lower the discount, the less accretive this will be from a NAV uplift perspective. But the potential significant NAV uplift, or accretion, as they would say, is huge. And that just relies on their ability to monetize that Tencent stake on an ongoing basis. And to put that into even better perspective, for each 1% of Tencent sold, that equates to just under 5 billion of NAV accretion.
Remarkable numbers. Those are eye-wateringly big, and why the market really did lap it up. What is your outlook overall, though, on Prosus and LastPass?
So for us, Michael, we see top-line growth, especially in that e-commerce division, being very pleasing. It's reassuring, especially in this kind of environment. But we do note that this is offset by widening losses and deterioration in free cash flow. Obviously, the big focus and discussion for a while will be around that share buyback. But outside of that, we are not sure that profit and cash flow trends would lead an investor, especially in new investor, to hold Prosus. We actually think a direct holding of Tencent would be preferred.
Now, just lastly, I'd hope to talk about Sun International, but we're just running out of time with a minute to go. Alviva, one of those small caps that I'm sure not many retail investors would be intimately familiar with, but some big news from Alviva today. Someone sniffing around.
Big news flow out of Alviva. This is one of the Cinderella stories of the JSC, Michael. If that deal goes through, basically what it will mean is that Alviva will be delisted from the JSC. The offer comes from a black-led consortium to buy it out, and the offer is for a purchase price of 25 Rand per share, with a premium of 30% to the average price over the past 30 days. At the price, the deal values Alviva just shy of 3 billion Rand. The market loved this, and the share price closed 15% up today.
Well, there you have it. Reko Nare, who is portfolio manager at Anchor Capital, running through the markets and the quarter and half year closeout here on Hot Business.
Hot 102.7 Business with Michael Avery.